Just preparing to do puja and then break Ekadasi. Really late the breaking of Ekadasi today, 9:31. Anyhow, such are the orders from the stars. And then early this afternoon we'll take a train back to Budapest, and tomorrow we'll be going out to the farm, where this weekend is our open days, and by Radhe Shyam's mercy, there'll be many, many guests to preach to. Okay, here's a question which says, in other yugas, those who worship the yuga avatars go to the planet where that incarnation resides. Is that also true of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If so, is that his Gaura Narayan feature, and where do the worshippers of this feature go? Why would anyone worship him only as the yuga avatar and not understand the other reasons for his descent? Well, there's a lot of questions here, which could be lengthy in terms of the answer, but the principle is Yanti Deva Prita Deva. Whatever form of Godhead you worship, that's the destination that you achieve. In this age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not Gaura Narayan, but he's Shyamasundar. He's not Narayan. And he's coming down not from Vaikuntha, but from Svetvadvip in Goloka Vrindavan. And I must have mentioned this at some previous time, but according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who are exclusive worshippers of Lord Gauranga will go to Svetadvip in Gauranga, in, Goloka. Those who are exclusive worshippers of Krishna will go to Goloka in Braj. And those who are worshippers of Goth will go to both places. But one would expect, as is here in the question, that people who worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu know him to be Krishna and don't worship him as Lord Narayan. Although obviously Lord Narayan is within, and the Yuga avatar is within the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this age. One would have to really be devoid of Gaudiya association to be worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayan and not be aware that he is Radhe Krishna Nahayanya. So, yes, devotees who worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will go to his abode in Goloka Vrindavan. And as a footnote about the holy name as the Yuga avatar, that should be understood in context. Chanting the holy name is the Yuga Dharma, which is brought by the Yuga avatar. But because there's no difference between the name and the possessor of the name, between the Yuga avatar and the Yuga Dharma, therefore sometimes we can refer to the holy name as the Yuga avatar. Still, we should be aware that there is also a difference. Just like there's no difference between Shaktiman and Shakti, there's no difference between Radha and Krishna. But at the same time, we should be aware that there is a difference in terms of potency and the possessor of the potency. So even though the holy name may sometimes be referred to as the Yuga avatar, but generally the chanting of the holy name is referred to as the Yuga Dharma, who is brought by the Yuga avatar. Now here's one request from the editor, that if you're sending in questions, make your questions brief and to the point. Don't write long stories or drawn out paragraphs with too much information. And this is one of the responsibilities of people asking questions is that they know how to ask questions. In other words, they know how to formulate their thoughts. Very often, devotees are revealing their mind, but they're not even really quite sure what it is that the problem is. It's just that there's something there. So that's which responsibility we have as individuals to try to figure out what is it that we're trying to say. That's part of communication, it's part of being a civilized human being, it's part of being a Vaishnava. We should know what it is that we want to say. When we see Arjuna's questions, Parikshit Maharaj's questions, they're so to the point, they're so succinct, there's so much in context with what's being said. They themselves are actually illuminating. And that requires a certain exercise of the mind and intelligence, and if we do that, we'll certainly be enriched. Some questions here, and I'm not quite sure whether I've answered them or not. From Alexander in Ishbury in Russia, when flying, is it better to carry deities or place them in the luggage? Well, I guess the choice is up to you. Question is whether when you go back to Godhead, you want to go in the luggage rack, or you want to sit first class in the seats. Why on earth would anyone want to put deities in their luggage? I don't know. Of course, we should be carrying them on as hand luggage because they deserve the best facility. Now here's a question from Adhikara Prabhu, who says, there was no sign of a holy place or anything like that when Lord Chaitanya sent Bhugarbha Goswami and Loknath Goswami to establish the Vrindavan holy places. Do you know when Vrindavan became more obscure after Krishna disappeared? Because at one point Vrindavan must have been a thriving holy place, as Krishna's grandson established many temples and the deity Brajanab is still worshipped today. So what happened after that to make everything disappear? I don't think that's meant to be the deity Brajanab, but the deities that Brajanab installed. I didn't know of any deity of Brajanab, but maybe there is. Anyhow, that's a very good question, and I'm no historian, but it would certainly be a wonderful research to see that what the chronological flow of events was from Krishna's time. Certainly after Krishna's time, Parikshit Maharaj, Brajanab re-established Vrindavan. There were many temples, there were many villages allotted to those temples, there were residents there, and things were going on. I only have the reference of, for instance, Chaitanya Charitamrita to go by, which makes reference to Shakshi Gopal, who preceded Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, is being worshipped in the temple there, and that seemed to be something that was going on under certain opulent circumstances. Mathura was always thriving. We also know that Bilvamambal Thakur lived in Vrindavan for a period of 800 years. But I don't really know what was actually going on and what were the rise and fall of different societies or villages or cultures within Vrindavan. I've heard, and that's just hearsay from some devotees in Vrindavan, that most of the present-day Brijbasis emigrated into Vrindavan about 800 years ago, up until this began 800 years ago, and that emigration continued up until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, but actually it's continuing even to the present time. So many people are coming in, moving in. I personally would be really interested to find out the answer to that question and to see the history of Vrindavan since Krishna's time, which is really a very important thing. Here we are saying that this is the most important spiritual place for us, Vrindavan Dham, and yet for 4,500 years after Krishna's disappearance, at least I and Adhikara Prabhu, number two, don't know what really happened. I can just say what happened 500 years ago since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. So it would be an important and very valid question to answer. And something that would stand us good stead in terms of presenting and defending our culture of Krishna consciousness. Anyway, if I haven't answered your questions, then it's not because I haven't gotten them. It's just that sometimes I'm switched from questions to readings to discussions according to either type of feedback that I get from devotees, what they want to hear, and also what inspires me. I'll be in touch again tomorrow from Budapest, and Hare Krishna to everyone.